The following Dharma talk was recorded in March 2014 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of eight recordings from the retreat called Suffering and the End of Suffering, taught by Bridget Rollins and John Yaffe. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. Bridget Rollins has practiced insight meditation since 1997. Recognized by the Spirit Rock Teachers Council as a community Dharma leader, Bridget co-leads the St. Louis Insight Meditation Group, teaches classes, and leads retreats. John Yaffe began practicing insight meditation in 1999 and has been co-leader of St. Louis Insight Meditation Group since 2006. He has served on the board of directors of Mid-America Dharma since 2005 and currently serves as its president. More information about Bridget and John can be found at www.dharmastl.org.
So I'm going to be talking about metta. Actually, we're going to look at the Buddha's teachings on metta. I'm going to talk about the practice designed to help manifest the quality of metta that you'll come to understand as we go through the sutra, and then we'll actually do the practice. So metta is a Pali word, usually translated as loving kindness, sometimes as loving friendliness. It's really helpful to understand that Pali is a language where a lot was said, but it's a language with a very small number of words, and as a result of which, each word can have multiple meanings. And what that means for us is that rather than hearing a single definition and having it be as if you struck one note of an instrument, some of these terms resonate more like a chord, as if there are multiple strings operating in harmony and creating resonances between and amongst each other. So as we talk about metta, I encourage you to hold it loosely so that you don't focus on just a single meaning, but allow resonances and additional meanings that work with the core meaning that you hold on to. Allow those to manifest and enrich the experience of it. In the context of the brief reading that I just gave you, metta would be a manifestation of that serene mind from which happiness follows. It's very much a part of the ending of suffering. So it's a practice which you'll want to develop and cherish. At various points in the weekend, people have volunteered the feeling that they were stuck or afflicted by some difficult part of their practice. And metta, the practice of metta, is very much a way of moving through and past that. In fact, as I reflected on the answers we gave to some of the questions about that, I wish that had come to mind, but at least we're getting to it now. The way it works is that metta functions as a guided meditation and the practice of metta. And because it functions as a guided meditation, it stimulates visualizations in the mind. And these can displace difficulties and visualizations that arise from negative mental formations. One of the fundamental teachings of Buddhist psychology is that awareness holds only one object at a time. And that it's sort of like, I use a computer metaphor, and I think of the computer as having perhaps a multitasking processor, but a single element of display. So there can be a bunch of things going on, but in any one instance, we only see one. And this aspect of mind can be used to help alleviate difficulty through the practice of disciplining ourselves to bring wholesome things to mind, and those will displace unwholesome. And that's very much part of the practice of metta. What I'd like to do is go through the the Buddha's original teaching on metta or loving kindness and go through it twice. First, I want to take you through it slowly and touch on a few things that I think will help you get your head around it. Again, the challenge of working with a translation and seeing, you know, why is the Buddha saying what he's saying in the way he's saying it? And then I'll go through it after we've been through it and I hopefully have imparted a sense of the pieces. We'll go through it and just look at the flow of it. And then we'll talk about what the practice does with this. So this is the Buddha's teaching on loving kindness. And you can follow on the text if you want or just stay with me. It begins by saying, this is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who would know the path of peace. And even at this very beginning, I am now, as I read this from time to time, different pieces of it jump out in my mind as I come to understand them. This phrase, skilled in goodness, is really quite lovely. What would it mean to be the master of what it means to understand and manifest goodness in our lives? It's an extraordinary little expression, three little words. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who would know the path of peace. Know the path of peace in the sense of completely manifesting it, completely immersing ourselves in that path. So what do these people look like? Or what does this person look like? Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied. So able and upright, I take to mean competent and dignified, holding this, deriving a quality of respect, letting a sense of respect perfuse our being by having mastered this. Straightforward and gentle in speech, not a person who's conniving and manipulative, but one who's straightforward, and there's nothing but gentleness in their speech. Humble and not conceited. Conceited, as Bridget mentioned earlier, in the way it's used here, refers to having coming from a place of self-view or a specific identification or style. So just someone who is has no artifice or artificial presentation quality whatsoever. Contented and easily satisfied. Unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways. I take unburdened with duties to mean two things. It'd be nice to not have any duties at all. I understand that. Now that I'm retired, I have moments when that feels like it's the case. But I think probably for we as householders, what this really refers to is taking on duties without the sense of them being a burden to us. So I described cleaning out my yucky refrigerator door with an open heart. That's the kind of thing he's meaning. Yeah, you may have some nasty tasks to do. It doesn't have to fill you with a sense of nastiness. It's just stuff you're doing. Unburdened with duties, frugal in their ways, not showing off with acquiring and displaying material goods. Just buying what you need, using what you need. Peaceful and wise and calm and skillful. Not proud and demanding in nature. And this section, which is really talking about the manifestations of a thoroughgoing morality, finishes up by saying, let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Now, you can't make everyone happy, but you can actually make people who understand what's going on look at you and say, yeah, that's it. You've got it. So this is how this person presents himself. Now, what's going on in the way he or she feels inside? So there's a transition here. Wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be at ease. So this is a wish for the well-being of others that's not born out of some discipline, I should be feeling this way. This is born out of a wholesome quality of being glad and knowing you're safe, in gladness and in safety. I feel this way, may all beings feel this way. Whatever living beings there may be. Now, this begins getting very interesting because this is wishing, this is sending out well wishes, and it's not excluding anyone. It's not saying, I like you, so you have a good life. It's not going there at all. Saying, may all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting, and then the selfish part of us sees that word omitting and says, okay, now he's going to say who we're going to exclude. But what he says is, omitting, none. The great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born. Well, that seems like it takes care of everyone. But then he adds, and to be born. So it's like not everything that's not just the entire world that's manifest, the world as it is manifesting, as it is rolling out in perpetuity, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. So here he's not only wishing the best for people, he's wishing that people treat each other well between and amongst each other. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. And now we get to the part that just takes us away. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So if you can bring that to mind, a mother who has one child and is willing to do anything to preserve the safety of that child and promote its well-being. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, coming from a description that sort of resonates with an understandable selfishness, but there is a selfishness there. Where does he go from that? He says, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings. How do we do this? Do we pick one at a time? Are we selective? Do we say, now you, now you, then you? No. He says, radiating kindness over the entire world, like a sun shining, spreading upward to the skies and downwards to the depths. I don't care whether it's up or down. I don't care whether it's into the heavens or into the bowels of the earth. I'm radiating. Don't get in my way. I'm radiating. Spreading upward to the skies and downward to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Freed from hatred and ill will. So this is the description. No limits, no restrictions. I radiate upward, downward, front, back, side, every possible direction. No selectivity. The mind says, well, how can you do that? Where would you get the energy? And the answer I talked about earlier about the energy of letting go of denial. Think of the energy we put into selecting. I like you. I don't like you. I will give you this. I will hold this back from you because I don't like you. Think of the energy liberated when we just go in every direction. There's no decision to be made. There's no energy to be spent on deciding and deciding who I give and who I withhold from. It just all goes out. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, in every possible posture externally, maybe he's also suggesting every possible posture internally, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. Keep this going. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. This born again into the world is a challenging description. it can refer to the ultimate freedom from the cycle of birth and death and reincarnation, but it can also mean being freed from the birthing of these mental formations, the constant churning of the mind that's creating busyness and out of that creating the sense of self, the total liberation of our being. Let me read this once more. I just find it exquisite and poetic. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who would know the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and wise and calm and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none. The great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none, through anger or ill will, wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. So the question this brings up is, how do we get from here to there? And there's a practice developed which recognizes where we begin in delusion and fear. So it begins by talking about, by affirming our need to feel protected. Protected typically from the outside, but really from everywhere inside as well. And also next, if you're creating a progression in mind, feeling healthy in the sense of well-being within yourself. So protected from the outside, healthy from within. And then it goes to, well, given this, may I be peaceful and at ease? Because, you know, if I have no external or internal source of disequilibrium, let me feel that equilibrium. Then it goes to, may I be happy. And as a training, we take ourselves to this projection of visualization. We do it for ourselves, and we do it for a progression of people around us in order to train the mind to hold one object in this heart-opening fashion after another, with the ultimate goal being, if I can feel this way here on the inside for me, if I can feel it for this type of person and this type of person and this type of person and this type of person, maybe I can just connect all those dots and experience it for everyone. So this is the flow of the training. It's designed to get us from the place of being caught in fear and in a defensive posture where the mind is protecting the heart, so to speak, by wrapping it up in a nice shell so that nothing can get through and hurt it, to letting a little opening arise, and then we're sort of pointing that opening at one person at a time and seeing if it's safe. And as we discover that it works, we open everything up in, you know, more and more until we're just wide open, and the mind lets the heart just go. That's what we're trying to do with this practice. So let me point these phrases out to you. I invite you to take these home and work with them after. If, you know, some of you know this practice already, some of you may be brand new to it, but I invite you to take these home. I've provided you with a list of the very standard practices and an expanded group, some of which, the standard, let's just go through this, and I've hinted at it already. The standard is just saying to yourself or and to other people, as you'll see, may I feel safe and protected. May I be healthy and strong. May I be peaceful and happy. May I have ease and well-being. That's one set. There's variations on this set. Jack Kornfield, in A Path with Heart, when he presented it, suggested that you can begin with the phrase, may I be filled with loving kindness, which I really enjoy taking on in my practice because I envision, well, here's the story. When I was a kid, we used to buy good season salad dressing, and it would come in a little glass jar, and you'd have a mix of spices. You'd dump that in, you'd pour in oil and water, and the oil would be displaced upward by the water and reach toward the top. And when I think of myself, my view of this has evolved a bit over time, but when I first began taking on this visualization of may I be filled with loving kindness, I pictured my body as a vessel, as a glass jar, filled with yuck, with nasty stuff. That was the oil. And as I poured the water of loving kindness in, it displaced the oil and lifted it up and completely displaced it. So the more loving kindness I poured in, the more that yuck was displaced and just spilled out the top, and I was left behind feeling full of loving kindness. And I really liked that. Later on, I came to think, well, that made a mess. Because there was all that oil spilled out, and I forgot to put a saucer under the thing. So then I started, my vision of this enhanced a little bit, and I started saying, well, maybe when the loving kindness pours in, it doesn't displace everything that's already there, it infuses it, so that it penetrates everything it touches with loving kindness and acts in a way that's transformative. So I invite you, as I take you through this practice, to take on this visualization and see where you can go with it. And then the last thing I say on this handout is make up your own. Make up additional alternate things. Because if, as you do this practice, what you find is little areas of blockages or fear. And if you can identify them, you can come up with a may I kind of expression that talks of this, you know, may whatever this is be released or healed or liberated. And that may be completely useless for the person next to you, but could be very, very helpful for you. So after you master the basics, make up your own stuff. Okay. That's my very long introduction. Let me ask you to get into your meditation posture. Let me check the clock here and see when we're supposed to be done. Okay, got that. Yeah, this will work. Okay, so let me invite you to take your posture. And we can begin the way we begin with a standard meditation of giving yourself a moment or two to orient, bring the attention to the body, tune into the sensations of the body, relax any tension you may come across as you move the awareness across the body. Maybe take just a moment or so to settle down with the breath. Focus on the breath as a nice quieting object. And then bring yourself to mind. Just recognize both the difficulty and the glory of your being. And as I say these phrases, I invite you to repeat them in your mind, or perhaps let them ring like the striking of the bell, and let the quality of the thoughts driving them resonate as with the bell with a sustained tone. So let these thoughts permeate your being, and then repeat them as you wish. So at the very beginning, let's begin with this thought, may I be filled with loving kindness. So find some way to envision this quality of completely acceptance-based goodwill to stream into your being. How does it feel as this quality of loving kindness touches your body? Perhaps melting away any residual tension? How does loving kindness feel as it touches your mind? Any thoughts of difficulty come up? What does loving kindness have to offer as it touches and infuses? May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. Metta has no agenda, doesn't have any preconceived notions, and thus it's free to be infinitely responsive to whatever it touches. So if you hold in your mind the thought that you are already safe and protected, it's very likely that you'll notice that metta simply wishes that this be sustained and continue. If there are areas where you feel fearful, you may find it approaches you differently and offers some solace, offers you a sense of feeling protected where before you did not. May I be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May I be healthy and strong in body, in mind, and in spirit. And again, in an area where you already feel healthy and strong, let the spirit of that invocation be to sustain and continue in health and well-being. And if you have some ideas or realities of difficulty in health, simply notice the expression of metta, hoping for healing. Maybe finding some sense of release from pain. Physical or mental. May I be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. If you repeat these phrases, allow the experience to deepen with each repetition. May I be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May I be peaceful and at ease. If the mind is restless, you may want to repeat these phrases somewhat rapidly. If the mind is at peace, you might repeat them more slowly and just bask in the feelings. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be happy. Remember the open and unbounded quality of metta as described in the sutra. So when you think of being happy, instead of being happy about one or another thing, or one or another victory or success, just think of it being a happiness that extends outward to infinity. May I be happy. May I be filled with loving kindness. And now I invite you to bring to mind a person who's been a benefactor in your life. someone who's given you a real gift, something that helped change your life for the better at a difficult point, or possibly someone who's been with you for a great long time in a constantly supporting, encouraging way. Someone for whom you simply feel warm, consistent, good feelings. And bringing this person to mind, you can open your heart in his or her direction in the same manner. Noticing that because this is a different person than you, even though we might be repeating these same phrases, they may express themselves differently because you know this person has different strengths or needs. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. When you practice this metta practice on your own, I invite you to spend as much time as you want on any of these different person-type touchstones that we bring up to mind. But for this purpose of this exposing you to the practice, I'm going to ask you to move on, and I know that may be difficult because there may be people you want to dwell with in your mind. But now I'd like you to bring to mind a person with whom you have a loving relationship, an ongoing relationship, or one which was ongoing. You may find this a little more complicated because having a day-to-day relationship, you know all the different aspects of this person, and they have many qualities of mind and emotion available to you when reflecting on this person. Some real love, but also an occasional spot of irritation or resentment. So in this case, this practice is an opportunity to recognize that as perhaps a little obstacle to offering metta, to letting this quality of loving kindness flow in the direction of this person. Might arise. It might not. And in any event, once again, because you know this person well, the quality of these wishes may be different even though the words are the same. So bringing this person, this loved one, to mind, we can begin again by saying, by wishing or thinking in the mind, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May you be safe and protected. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be healthy and strong. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. May you be happy. And now I'd like you to bring to mind a person you barely know, a person you consider neutral, someone who may be an acquaintance at work, a checkout person at a supermarket that you see from time to time, someone who's very peripheral to your existence, but who you do know exists. There are so many people we bump into for whom we don't really take much time to think about them or wish them well. And yet, these people have the same needs we do, the same desire for simple joy, the same need to be protected, the same wish for well-being. Perhaps we can open our hearts to these people as well. So holding one particular person of this type in mind, one casual acquaintance, wish on behalf of him or her, may you be filled with loving kindness. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be peaceful and at ease. And even though I don't know you well, may you be happy. And now, as our whirlwind tour of metta continues, I ask you to bring to mind a person with whom you have difficulty, a person for whom there is some conflict, where there's a rub, someone at work with whom you bump heads or compete. Someone who's been a real problem. And holding this person in mind, even given this friction and frustration and difficulty, recognize that their humanity is no less than yours. Their needs are no less significant or worthwhile than yours. And holding this person in mind, you can join me in wishing, may you be filled with loving kindness. Noticing how the heart either opens or resists. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be safe and protected from all harm, outer and inner. May you be safe and protected from all harm. May you be healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit. May you be healthy and strong May you be peaceful and at ease. Even though there's difficulty between us, may you be peaceful and at ease. May you be happy. May you be happy. And now, finally, I encourage you to open your heart completely to take in all living beings, other people, animals, everything around us that lives has the same basic needs, same wants, the same desires. May all beings be filled with loving kindness. May all beings be safe, protected from all harm, outer and inner. May all beings be healthy and strong and live with well-being. May all beings be peaceful and at ease. May all beings, including you and me, be happy. May we all be filled with loving kindness.